There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that...
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
You know, it's fun to be able to say that the beer we got drinks pretty good, especially when you're here at Fairhope Brewing Company. Midday Mobile live today from Fairhope Brewing Company. And officially, now, Brian, officially it's 1 o'clock now, so the tap room is open.
Right. That's why that line that was out front earlier has dissipated, because the doors are now officially open.
Okay. So, and a couple of people popped their heads in here to get some FM Talk 106.5 goodies, but y'all can come in here now and get a seat and hang out with us.
Get out of the rain, yeah.
Yeah. Get out of the rain. Come in. And listen, I mean, you can look at beer being made and radio being made at exactly the same time.
There you go.
How about that? I want to talk about a couple things. Number one, first of all, I don't want to run out of time and remind folks about what's going on this weekend with the Dueling Banjos event.
Yeah, we got our Dueling Banjos brunch, second brunch we've ever done. And I pulled up real quick the menu because I kind of briefly mentioned it.
Well, yeah, it was making me hungry.
Yeah, we've got a pancake option. We've got a chorizo bacon breakfast burger.
Yes.
Shrimp and Gouda grits. Fried tomato and crab cake, and a soft shell crab sandwich.
So, okay, here we go. So we're going to be here. We have the banjos plan. We have let's say I do the crab cake. Okay,
all right.
What do I pair that with?
Something like a crab cake. I think you have a lot of options actually with that one. I'd probably go something a little bit darker.
Okay.
Maybe the amber. I think would probably be pretty good with that. Or our imperial porter would also be pretty good. That's 8%, though, so I don't know if you want to be drinking an 8% beer at, 10:15 in the morning, unless you've got a big day ahead of you.
That's
I mean, there's no Alabama, no Auburn this weekend,
That's right.
If you can make it through the Georgia-Florida game, you're probably good.
Yeah, so remind folks, too, so this event starts at
10 a.m., so we'll have music going, so we'll have our painted black beer release, and, it should be a fun time. We had a nice crowd for the first one. We parked the food truck right outside the front door. Looks like the weather, unlike today, should be really nice for hanging out. We've got a lot of outdoor seating area, so a good opportunity to start your day off right here with us.
When you're talking about painted black, it was not like 3 minutes after you mentioned that. A friend of ours in common was like, I'm so excited it's back. So, I mean, this is one of these, and if people have not been here, there's a lot of people that are familiar with Fairhope Brewing, but they're buying it in stores. They have not been here to the tap room. So when we're here, we get the beers I'm familiar with from Fairhope that I buy at the store. They're here, but also there's stuff that we can only get here.
Right. No, we have a lot of, we do some distribution in this area, Mobile. We're actually distributed across the state. But we dole out small amounts of some of those beers.
Right.
So you might find a keg or two at some special places or for special events.
But we're not buying. This
but
is not the, well, we don't see it on the store shelves.
Right. No, it will be on a bar or restaurant somewhere. But in bottles, yeah, we put, five beers in bottles, and that's pretty much it. So if you want to come, we do to-go beer here. So we have a Crowler, which is a 32-ounce can.
Now, y'all, first of all, number one, it's awesome beer. Number two, just the kid in me, or the boy in me, loves the process of making it. Talk
right.
About
the machine is cool. It's basically, we fill it up off the, fill up a 32-ounce can off of the tap line, immediately put a lid on it, take it over, and there's actually a machine that seals it. You hit a button, and it's... I kind of say a reverse can opener because it seals the lid, which I always say is better than, in our opinion, better than a growler. Because if you get a growler, which is the glass bottle,
right,
you're counting on my strength to ensure that your bottle, does not get oxygen in it, that it's sealed properly. I would trust the crowler machine any day of the week over that out for you.
It makes the taste of your beer, to travel with it. But it also, I'm just telling you, I don't know. It's fascinating to me to watch it seal a top on a can.
It's definitely one of those. We put it behind the bar where it's in plain view of everybody, and we notice you'll be sitting there one day, and there'll be 10 or 12 people at the bar, and nobody says anything until somebody orders a crowler. Then the next nine people. I'll need to also order a crowler because I just watched what happened. And
right, you would have checked
it out. If nothing else, I need this commemorative take-home can.
You know, you and I have talked about this before when you've been on the show with me in the studio and just the process of being in the craft beer world. And coming from this, I mean, you were, you know, you had different occupations, but obviously you had an interest in what's going on here. What is it like to make a passionate profession, right? You know what I'm saying? Something that,
right.
I mean, because I love the atmosphere. This last hour when before you all opened the doors, to watch you all interact here and see kind of how the company works, and it's like any other company, and the work has to be done. But y'all are all passionate about your product.
Oh, we're definitely passionate
your
about
fans,
it. I mean, on
right?
down the road, yeah. I mean, you go down. A couple of the packaging guys are on board just because they came in here often, and when we needed to expand our staffing, we knew them pretty well. We knew they liked what we did, and they all take a lot of pride in putting out our product. Whether it is a guy on a bottling line, the brewer, the guy cleaning tanks, whatever it is, they all. You know, represent us with pride, which
yeah,
is important.
Yeah, people are here because they want to be here. That, you know what I'm saying? It's the vibe. Like, everybody's into this here.
Believe me, we don't pay them enough to not be into it. So, but, yeah, it's a nice thing. We all one of the big things is knowing what you do well. And I don't brew beer well. I sell beer pretty well.
That's
and
right.
I market it and everything else. And so, you know, we let our brewer do what he does. And if he has a suggestion, then he knows better than we do. So we don't
we don't
step on his toes, and we all try to. And he knows that, you know, that Jim and I are better at, you know, paying the taxes, keeping the website up to date, those kind of things. And he, you know,
well,
and so
it's cool. No matter what, you went down up and down the road. You don't have to be the brewmaster. It's everybody here seems like you're into it. It's like a bunch of people who are fans of a sports team getting to work with that sports team.
Right. And we, you know, we try to create the best work environment we can here. You know, there are some days in July when those guys, our bottling guys are back there and it's 120 degrees and that, you know, we got hot water running and there's not a lot of, you know, there's no air conditioning in the bottling room and they're, you know, they're feeling it.
Right.
But they accept that because they know on certain other days we're going to go have a team bowling afternoon or we're going to, you know, if there's not a lot of work to be done, let everybody out early. And so we do our best to, you know, I never liked those jobs where you were required to put in hours even when the work wasn't there.
And I get along.
Yeah.
That's how we just work till you get your work done.
Yeah, get everything done and go home.
Yeah,
take
the best job
you can. Fast or as slow as you want, but just get it done.
But your company has more and more work because, gosh, y'all have grown. I see you in more and more places. More and more places.
Well, we, you know, we started out with just the three of us, basically. Myself, Jim, and our brewer, our original brewer, Dan. And we are now at, I believe, 10 full-time employees, 9 or 10 full-time employees, you know, 5, 6 bartenders, 3 or 4 sales reps. So there's a lot more going on. And, you know, it takes a lot of work to get in these places. You know, we donate a lot of beer. It's an important thing for us to kind of give back to the community. It's great to support the community. It's also a good, oftentimes a good introduction to our beer.
Sure.
Somebody who might not have had it before. We partner with some great organizations who have some really intense followers, and they'll support us when we support them, which, you know, it works out for everybody.
But it's seeing that, you know, and absolutely, because people realize it here, and the branding is here, but you're expanding beyond just our area of Southwest Alabama. I tell you what, we'll talk about this more later this hour.
Okay.
Coming right back. Brian Kane here at Fairhope Brewing Company. I want you to come out right now and grab some of the new run of FM Talk 106.5 Huggers, and the next person that comes in, I'll do it early this hour so nobody gets mad. The Oldsmobile Trivia Book, my last copy of that for today. Come on by and say you heard it on FM Talk 106.5. We'll hook you up as well with that. We are here at Fairhope Brewing Company, and we're coming right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile live from Fairhope Brewing Company. Glad to have you all along on this Thursday. Big thank you to Brian and Jim and the whole gang here at Fairhope Brewing Company for having us out. And by the way, you can stop on in right now and we'll hook you up with FM Talk 106.5 goodies. And if you're next person out too, you'll get the Oldsmobile Trivia Book, although Brian is starting to read it. He may just take it from me. Stop by and see us right here. First one here. There he is. It's going to be his book. Listen, come out and see us. Doors are open now at Fairhope Brewing Company and love for you to come out and be part of this. Plus, coming up this afternoon, the Eastern Shore Chamber of Commerce and Governmental Affairs Committee has their 2018 local candidate meet and greet. We'll be out there and part of that at Bayside this afternoon starting around 5:30. And I talked to our buddy John Sharp from AL.com because there's lots to talk about. I'm in Fairhope, John, so, I mean, would there be a better time for you and I to re-engage on this whole question about the Fairhope system of government and the vote coming up next month?
Yeah, you're in the perfect setting for it. It is a big deal for Fairhope. It pretty much determines the direction, the future direction of their city government.
Can you, okay, so put this in, you know, you and I have talked about this several times, but if somebody wasn't listening at that time, can you kind of paint the picture for us where the system, what the system of government's like now, where it is, and what would be changed if changes were made, and why it was hung up out of Montgomery, too? What were all the questions about, could they or couldn't they?
Yeah, it's been a long, convoluted process to get to this point where the voters will go in on November 6th and decide whether or not the city government should be changed. Currently, the way the structure is very similar to Mobile city government, where you have a mayor and the mayor's administration separate from the city council, where the city council votes on the budget, the mayor proposes a budget, the council amends it, votes on it. They're two separate entities. It is essentially called a council-mayor form of government. This proposed change would wrap the mayor into a voting member of the city council, and the city would be run by, and the mayor would be more of a figurehead, you know, more of a ceremonial type of position, and also a voting member of the council. And then the city day-to-day governance of the city would be determined or would be overseen by a city manager, a professional manager who's trained in public administration, who would be hired by the city council for that particular role.
Would they be, okay, that is that a merit position, political? I mean, does that person change with each new mayor, or is that a full-time? I mean, how does that work?
There's no guarantee that a city manager would be removed by a mayor or by a city council, but typically that usually happens. In some cities, I guess kind of the rule of thumb is a city manager usually has a shelf life of 6 to 8 years. You know, when one administration comes in, they tend to want to go in a different direction, and they might want to do that with a different city manager in cities that have this form of government. But in other cases, you get into cities like Mountain Brook, where the city manager has been there for a very long time. So it all depends, really, on the city, I guess, as a whole.
Okay, so same city manager, but different mayors coming and going.
That's correct. Sometimes, you know, the city manager in some cities, perhaps, is runs the knows the ins and outs of the city better than most, and so after a period of time, that person might be viewed as very important to the operations of the community. It differs from city to city. You know, some cities want to go in a totally different direction, and politics does play a role in that. There's been this argument in city manager forms of government that you're taking the politics out of it. Well, that's not the case. I mean, there's still elected officials, and they have their views and who they want to appoint and put in certain positions, and that includes the city manager as well.
Okay, so if this change is made, you said something too I want to circle back to. Just joining us, talking to John Sharp with AL.com, talking about the what's a question in Fairhope for the vote coming up next month. So the mayor becomes just, am I right, just another member of the city council? They're like the at-large city council member? Is that, am I right in that? Is that accurate?
That's correct. To be an at-large member of the city council. In the structure of Fairhope, you would have, and this was also part of a much harangue and much discussion and debate for the last couple of months, but you would have three council members elected via district. And then you would have two at-large members, one being the mayor and the other one being the council president. And that would be the structure in Fairhope. But that is the case in a council-manager form of government, where the mayor is an at-large elected member, still, you know, the most prominent person on the council. I mean, it's the mayor. I mean, you have that title next to you. So there is no dilution, really, in the authority of the mayor, other than now the mayor is no longer running the day-to-day city sewer and utility operations. The mayor is now a voting member of the council as well. So, yes, it is a change. But, yeah, the mayor is more of a, I guess you could say, a prominent member of the city council, I guess you could put it that way, where you know, the person is a figurehead that shows up to the ribbon cuttings and meet and greets with economic developers and stuff along those lines.
But they would, by the way you lay this out, they would have no more ability to steer the direction of a city than any other member of the council, or am I missing something there?
Yeah, that's correct. I've I've covered city manager forms of government before, where the mayor runs the meeting, runs the council meeting, is very much in charge of that, and the mayor is in regular contact with the city manager. The mayor has to have a good relationship, one would think, unless the mayor has no relationship with the city council, it would need a good relationship with the city manager in order for a city to be run effectively. So, I've seen situations where, the mayor is usually has a strong personality in these type of form of governments and does run the city council meetings. And then you have another council member that would be an at-large vice president of the council, I guess you would say. So it differs for different cities, but in the situation of Fair Oaks, what we're looking at is two at-large members of the council. One of them would be the mayor, and the other one would be the council president.
Okay, so that is the change. If vote, and I want to make sure because I have not pulled the what the ballot would look like in Fairhope, but is it going to essentially say, do you want to change to this form of government? How's that going to be phrased?
Yeah, I don't have the exact phrasing with me, but then essentially you're correct. Should the city of Fairhope change its current form of government to council manager? That is what the advocates for this change have wanted all along. Early on in the discussions and all this, they basically want to get a professional manager in to run our city. That's what we want. The mayor is spending too much time focused on the day-to-day utilities operations. That this should be handled by a professional manager, and that the mayor should be freed up for other things. And so that was the, and Fairhope was in essence the reason why this group called Fresh Start Fairhope pitched this whole change of government. So that's what they're pushing for. And Fresh Start Fairhope wanted, said, their argument was, well, let's worry about the details later as far as the city council is concerned, whether or not it should be district or at large. And that was a debate going on for a while until Attorney General Steve Marshall came out, I believe about a month or so ago, and ruled that, well, it's according to Alabama law, his interpretation of Alabama law is that Fairhope would have to be run by three district council members and two at large.
And I saw, when I remember seeing the presser, the press release from Attorney General's office, and I got to tell you, I looked, they wrote a paragraph or two and they referred to subsection whatever of the code, and the reasoning kind of lost me there, on this. I just wasn't sure. Is it to make sure people are represented, I mean, by an actual elected official, or is that, I mean, the at-large thing, they don't represent one part of the city more than any other, correct?
That's correct. At-large is, you can get elected anywhere in the city. You can live anywhere and get elected. Where districts, the Fairhope would be essentially divided into three different districts. And it would be a change, quite a change, I think, and that's been kind of an argument all along is how that would be structured moving forward. Now, this city government change, if it goes through on November 6th, would not be in effect until the next election, or until after the next election, which would be in 2020. That's the next municipal election. So this would not take an effect right away. I mean, there would be a lot of details, I think, that would need to be squared away before we, have a new change of government. But, of course, the voters have to vote this in on November 6th. If they don't, then, the status quo continues.
All right. Are you hearing anything? Has there been any polling, anything released by any of the signs there to see which way it's trending?
I have not. There is a motivated group called Fresh Start Fairhope. They got over 800 signatures on a petition to move forward with this change. They will show up to vote. The interesting thing about Fairhope is their election, they got kind of a hot state representative race, and it'll be interesting who turns out the vote and how those people will vote towards that the change in city government question, the referendum. So I think turnout's going to be pretty good in Fairhope on November 6th. Just going to be interesting to see how those, you know, who shows up supporting who in the state legislative race between Danielle Mashburn-Myrick and Representative Joe Fouts, and how they view this change in city government. Because Fairhope's going to be interesting on November 6th.
That's for sure. As always, we appreciate your time and your reporting, John. Thanks. If people want to reach out to you on Twitter, how they find you?
Yeah, Sean, at JohnSharp99.
All right, there he is. And also a heck of a college pick'em player, too. Go check out our college pick'em stacks. He is at the top of the stack. Coming right back, more of Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. We are live from Fairhope Brewing Company, which, you know, I love this, too. You can come here and get your beer, but if you are in Mobile, how about this? You can grab all the brews from Fairhope Brewing Company right there at Cottage Hill Package. The Mantis Boys have that, along with, like another 1,800 beers to select as you check it out tonight for Cider Fest. By the way, we were talking about cider earlier with Brian. Cider Fest tonight with Alabama Crown Distributing. Your chance to come out, check out the cider, and see which one you like. And it's like a thing that I don't know a whole bunch about. I know I've like had the one that I liked over time, but I don't know much about them other than I like the one. And so tonight, one of these great events where you can come out for free and taste the cider. It's Cider Fest tonight from 6 until about 8 o'clock at Cottage Hill Package online, cottagehillpackage.com. More information on their Facebook page. Just look for Cottage Hill Package. And then coming up tomorrow night as well, they have their the Brig Clay Brewing Company out of Opelika with their beers as well. So check them out, Cottage Hill Package online at cottagehillpackage.com. All right, continue our conversation here, and I'm going to get into the story, and we may have somebody call in who has a little more on the story, but I saw this pop up a couple places out there. Somebody said, did you hear what happened? You hear what happened about the fees going up on parading societies in Mobile for Mardi Gras? And so here's the word out right now. There's a little bit of information here, and it's coming, I guess, off a meeting that was held between Mobile Police Chief Batiste and members of, or you know, representatives from different parading societies about their per parade fee. And hold on, we get a little more there. Yeah, all right, per parade fee. And we do have him on. Good. So our buddy Steve Joint from Mobile Mask is on with us now. So hey, man.
Hey.
So what's the deal here? Am I getting it right? So is the money's going up? It's going to cost more to parade in the city?
Yeah, Chief called a meeting about a week ago for yesterday. Didn't tell anybody what it was about. Chief made it clear this is not his proposal, it's the mayor's proposal. And that he was, at the mayor's request, gathering input from the parading groups. Which sounds like kind of a dumb assignment. I'm going to ask you how you feel about the price going up. Gee, what do you think they're going to say about the price going up?
What is the price?
Was the amount that was thrown at them.
Right. So, yeah, starting, Steve, help us here. Like, what's like the normal parading fee to start off with? Is there a fixed price or how's it work?
Well, we're talking about the parade permit. And the permit for, I believe, like the last 7 or 8 years has been $1,000 plus a $25 processing fee.
Okay.
Then the number they threw out yesterday was $5,000. And not only that, but they're talking about making that increase for this coming year. When all of these groups, you know, they set their budgets back in March and April. And most of their money's been spent, whether it's with float builders or costume makers, what have you.
Yeah, booking venues, right. Bands, booking out,
so
yeah.
To tell them even that they're looking at a $250 increase is a great hardship at this time of year because they just don't have the money. They most of them budget this stuff out to the penny. When Mardi Gras is over, they got nothing left.
Well, I want to get some sense of this too. When you talk about the fee right now, it's $1,000 plus the processing fee and going to $5,000. Is it the same for every parade? I mean, I think about some parades are shorter, some parades are longer, some parades are nighttime, some are daytime. Is it a standard fee, no matter like, or does it move with the day or size?
In New Orleans, for example, it depends on how many floats you have. In Mobile, it is the same fee whether you have 3 floats or 20.
Okay.
Whether it's so, daytime or nighttime, whether there's 4 parades that day or 2 parades that day.
Okay. So it doesn't matter. That fee is fixed.
This is a nominal fee. This is a drop in the bucket. This is not meant to pay the city back for anything. This is simply a barricade fee that makes sure that, you know, 6 people who can pull together $100 and say, I want to put on a parade, they can't do it. They've got to come up with at least $1,000. So you've got to come up with at least $1,000. That's kind of the threshold amount for saying that, you know, this is enough of a group to put on enough of a parade that it's worth our while.
Okay, so the fee, and by the way, if you're just joining us, talking to Steve Joint, the publisher of the Mobile Mask, Reveler's Guide to Mardi Gras, and we talked to Steve about so many things Mardi Gras throughout the year, especially obviously during the carnival season. But this is, so you're telling me the $1,025 for this proposed $5,000 is not equivalent to what it, like that's the cost for police or anything for that period of time? There's no measure like that.
The police department for alone budgets over $1 million in overtime.
Okay, so that's already built in. So
yeah,
this fee is good.
I crunched some numbers. We're looking at possibly this coming season 43 parading permits.
Okay.
That's $43,000.
Plus $25 processing
fee. That would be something
fee.
Like $215,000. So we're talking $215,000 versus over $1 million, probably the 215 might not cover even the overage over $1 million just in police overtime. That doesn't count fire department, that doesn't count public works.
Okay, so it's not commiserate. It's not commiserate with paying off any individual part of what the cost of putting putting on the public safety portion of Mardi Gras is. So what's that what's the question here? Why is this happening? Is it specific to a certain revenue need, or is it a general revenue need, or is it, like you said, is it just a canary in a coal mine here to see how it works?
I honestly all you can do is look at what the effect would be and the greatest effect. The greatest effect would be that between a dozen to 16 of those 43 organizations would have to give up parading.
Seriously.
Now, is that their goal? Is that the city's goal to make some of these groups drop out? I don't know, but it would be the only effect.
Well, I mean, let me argue just because I won't even argue. I'll just throw my opinion out here because it is all just conjecture. But the people find a way. You know what I'm saying? It's like whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I understand their budgets are depleted, and on the books, there's no more. They've spent their money for the year. But if they go to the people that have, this is so important, say, hey, we gotta pass the hat, or we gotta have an assessment, or whatever it is. I think some of those groups come up with the money to make the $5,000.
But Sean, let me ask you this. If the city spends, let's say the city spends $3.5 million over the course of the parading season for all services, $3.5 million, let's say that. The last time an economic study was done, an economic impact study was done, it was quite a while ago, it was approaching 20 years ago. And at that time, I believe the figure was something like 25 to 30 million in revenue was done because of Mardi Gras, with
sales tax going
directly into city coffers, but it was more than $3.5 million 20 years ago. I think we can all agree the city gets its money back and then some. We can argue about how much then some is. But that being the case, considering that these groups
do this with their own money. The city doesn't put on Mardi Gras. These groups of citizens put on Mardi Gras with their own money.
Yeah, and people need to realize, too, that the amount paid for the parading fee is a drop in the bucket compared to what a parading society pays to put on their parade and
it's also a drop
else.
In the bucket compared to what they bring to the city.
All right. When's the next? I mean, you said this was just rolled out at this meeting. Is there another meeting slated for this or
supposedly
anything?
Supposedly, they're going to hear back the middle of next month.
All right, we'll be checking back with you at that point. It's our buddy Steve Joint from Mobile Mask, a Reveler's Guide to Mardi Gras. We'll talk more about this in the future. Thanks for the info. We appreciate it, Steve.
Sure thing.
Coming right back, more Midday Mobile. We are live at Fairhope Brewing Company. Come see us.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile live at Fairhope Brewing Company, where they have opened the doors here at the tap room. People coming in, and we've given away, you know, we still have some FM Talk 106.5 huggers. I'll tell you what, next time I come over here, I'll have to bring some more old Mobile trivia books. Who would have figured a Mobile trivia book had been so popular in Fairhope? Brian, come on, man, you know. And speaking of trivia, too, that's one of my favorite things, the other than enjoying the beverage things y'all do here, your trivia night. I know it's very popular.
Yeah, it is. We do it every Wednesday night, and Jim hosts it, so it's not...
Who's the best MC ever? And I can't get him to come over here, but I don't know if he missed his calling because he's pretty good at this, but we get him his own show, you know that.
Right, no, he has the face for radio, for sure. There's no doubt about that.
But trivia is going on, but and another thing, we got those contests going on during the week. We also have a very special event coming up on Saturday, right?
Right. Saturday, the Dueling Banjo Brunch starts at 10 a.m. We normally open at 1 on Saturday. That's 10. We never really open at 10.
Right.
It's a special event. We have a food truck here selling some delicious brunch options. Painted Black IPA, first day on tap this year. We'll have cold brew coffee on tap. I don't think I mentioned that one earlier. That's the same coffee we use to make our Judge Roy Bean coffee stout, but we pull a little bit off and we'll have cold brew coffee on tap.
Oh, cool.
So we'll have some orange juice and some Bloody Mary mix if you want to add that to your beer and change things up a little bit. And
you were talking about that earlier. You're talking about that earlier, and now I'm intrigued and scared at the same time because I do love your beer so dearly. And then when you start talking about putting, I'm like, no, don't. But people rave.
You know,
about
we
this.
Got the Mobile Bay Monthly did an article about a year or two ago. And it was on beer cocktails, which was kind of a hot thing at the mm-hmm. time, and we were asked to come up with a few. So this is. We tried some of these concoctions before,
right.
So we had some confidence going on that they would be pretty good. And they're not bad. Now, plenty of people are just going to, you know, you can go Judge Roy Bean, which already has the coffee in it, and you
right.
just call it a day and
yes.
and not get crazy with it. But
it's neat, too. You talk about, you know, first time, like for Painted Blank, first time back on the tap this year and all that. There's people expect you. I mean, I know you mix it up and do all kind of new things, but they also expect certain things at certain seasons from y'all, right?
Right.
I mean, if there's
right.
certain beers you wouldn't, if you didn't have it get back on the tap at a certain point, they'd probably be with the pitchforks and the torches.
Yes, we definitely
front.
Have a few beers that we make that people start asking, you know, when's it coming back? When's it coming around? And we don't have a set schedule. We kind of look to see about a time when we want something to come back out. But there's always some clamoring for the Painted Blacks one, the Rescue Dog Red that we do, the benefits. Baldwin County Humane Society is another big beer that people really, really want.
Well, you do beers, too, based on, like, you always talk about seasons and, you know, if it's cool or if it's warm or all that. Is there anything about what goes into the beers that drives when they, you know, the ingredients you're putting in, does that drive the season for when you're making that beer?
Somewhat. You know, we have the ability to brew. We probably have recipes for, say, 10 or 12 dark beers. But we kind of rotate those through from, say, you know, October through about February.
Okay.
We keep a couple on tap, but if you came in here, you know, on June 20th and it's right. 95 degrees outside and we've got seven dark beers on tap, they're not going to move.
That's right.
Even though I always say the tap room's about 68 or 70 degrees always, so it doesn't matter what it is outside.
Yeah, but we got to, you know, we're coming in from the heat.
Right. But so, we do pick. We know that in the summer we're going to put some of our fruitier options out there, wheat beer, things like that. And then in the winter, fall, whatever you want to call it, our seasons are so tiny. You go to Michigan and they can have dark beers year round up there, and nobody
right.
thinks twice about it. But down here, you got to be But you know, IPA, there's always a season for IPA. That is the beer that transcends it all.
Well, and I wondered about that. So, you know, I'm a fan of so many craft beers, but I like the IPAs, obviously, a whole bunch. If you were talking to somebody who has not had a product of y'all's, has not had anything from Fairhope Brewing Company, and they were going to... They're a casual beer drinker. Maybe they've been drinking, you know, a lot of just regular pilsners or something like that. What would you say if they called you? Said, Brian, man, which one should I? I'm looking here. Which one should I?
Yeah, right now we have Cheap Sunglasses was the most recent beer we put into bottles. It's a golden ale. It is it's light, crisp, refreshing, not hoppy
tasty.
At all. So
tasty.
It is not hoppy. Lawnmower beer kind of
yes
kind of thing. And it's a good intro beer. We you know people come in all the time. They're like, well, what's good? And the response is, well, what do you like? Like,
right.
I can't tell you what's good.
Well, that's why
I think's good.
Right. Well, that's why I'm framing it that way.
That person
they may end up liking something much more. But if they're new to your products and they're trying to transition, maybe they're drinking, you know, just one of the domestic pilsners here.
Right. You know, and that's an interesting thing. If some guy comes in with that, the Cheap Sunglasses Golden Ale. Somebody comes in, we'll ask him, do you drink coffee? Oh, I love black coffee. All right, we'll try this. You know, try the Judge Roy Bean, see what
right.
you think of it, because it's dark, but it's not heavy.
Right.
And you know, and then you find people, a lot of people that have been with us over the years, maybe started out drinking the Blonde Ale or the Golden Ale, and now they're drinking the IPAs or they're drinking just whatever new thing
right.
you know happens on tap. You know, it always cracks me up to get, you know, some folks in here that are, say, 22, 23 years old and ordering the IPAs, which
right,
is really cool because even I was drinking, you know, Natty Light back
yeah,
then.
You and I both, yeah.
And I'm always impressed seeing these guys coming in. I'm like, you better save up your money, though, because this could be an expensive habit.
That's right. Yeah, I was with you with the Natural Light. And listen, I mean, I've said this up before on the air. I am a guy that likes all kind of beers, but I just have a wide palette of taste for beers, and y'all solve a lot of those right here. So, and in the stores too. I mean, I'm a big consumer in the stores. If people want to get more information, best for them to come out and hang out with us. I love this.
Definitely.
At the tap room. But if they can't. Where do they go? Just
well,
look
you know,
online,
we
look for you in stores.
Yeah, I mean, we've got our Facebook page keeps up with events. A lot of events here, but some of offsite events. Our website does a good job of that. You know, we're in Publix, Winn-Dixie, Walmart, a lot of those stores.
Yes.
A lot of your small convenience stores and stuff too have been very supportive.
Everywhere
with us,
I go has y'all's beer.
There's a lot of places where you can try it out. You know, if you're in the Mobile area, downtown Mobile has been very supportive of us. So you have a good chance of finding some taps and some variety. A lot of the bars and restaurants down there. If I name one, I'd have to name them
right.
all.
Right.
So.
I want to say this, y'all. They're the ones with the pelican. So if you're not,
yes.
if you're new to, you
yes.
know, if you're Fairhope Brewery, you're like, oh, that logo.
The tap does. The tap does stand out. Yes.
That's the one you asked for.
Yeah, and I think. You know, across you know, down at the beach, we've had a really good run at the beach the last couple of years of bars and restaurants carrying us, which is a great way to introduce because you know somebody goes down on vacation, they're going to go out to eat somewhere, and when
right.
they go to CN Suds or Cobalt or wherever it is they go, and our beer's there, it's a you know a lot of people they don't research, and then next thing you
right.
know they come in here the next day because they're
going to come
found
find
our
the
beer
source,
at the restaurant,
find the source
and,
of that taste,
and that's great. It's great advertising for us, not to mention it's you know helping us sell beer. So
absolutely,
it works out well.
Okay, the farthest flung request out from here, from home, for some of y'all's beer.
Oh, you know, we get some emails every now and then to send beer to various states, which we are unfortunately not allowed to do.
Right, but if you look at people calling, like that maybe came through here on vacation,
you find some folks that have passed through, or their friend brought them back a beer and they wanted to try it out or something like that. So, you know, I don't know how the farthest is. We got some ties to Alaska from back in my day, so I'll throw that one out.
There you go.
That one can't be beat.
It is good. His stories about Alaska can't be beat either. Brian, thanks for having us out.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks to you and Jim, the whole crew. Here.
That's
been
fantastic.
A lot of fun. Paul Feinbaum on the way next. We'll see y'all in the morning for Mobile Mornings. Also, come out to the Candidates Forum that's going on at Bayside this afternoon at 5:30.